Good morning. I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Tracking snow leopards in Afghanistan. Thane Maynard talks with filmmaker Tony Gerber about that in about 10 minutes. And later, author B.A. Shapiro talks about her new best-selling novel, The Art Forger, which incidentally is the book of the month at Joseph Beth Booksellers in Rookwood. Brad Wenstrup shocked many in the Republican Party, and maybe even himself, when he defeated incumbent Republican Congresswoman Jean Schmidt in the March primary. He went on to win an easy victory in the heavily Republican district last month. Now the 54-year-old podiatrist and Iraq War veteran is headed to Congress. He sat down this week with WVXU political reporter Howard Wilkinson to talk about how he's preparing himself for this new phase of his life.
Welcome.
Thank you, Howard.
Glad to have you here. You know, a year or so ago, I mean, you know, you were talked about as a congressional candidate, and people said this is a real long shot. You're taking on a Republican incumbent in Jean Schmidt. And here you are today. You won the primary, you won the general election, and now you're going to be part of the 113th Congress. Does this seem unreal to you in any way?
In some ways, as I look back in my life, I never thought that this would be something that I'd be doing or experiencing, but the course of my life led me to this, and here we are. And I'm humbled and honored to be able to serve. It's going to be a trying time, though, that's for sure.
What about your own background in podiatry and your background in the military, your service in Iraq? How does that prepare you for what you are about to embark on?
Well, I think in every aspect, if you look back when I first started in practice, I had two employees, and if someone was sick, my mom came in, and I was running a business. And then I joined Wellington Orthopedics, and we now have 26 doctors, 7 locations. I was operations chairman there. So a lot of business experience, small business experience from that standpoint. 26 years in healthcare and understanding the doctor-patient relationship and understanding what it takes to negotiate with insurance companies and with the government when you're taking care of patients. I think that that's a big plus for me as we move forward, especially as we continue to address healthcare on a national level. And then lastly, 15 years in the military, where in Iraq I had the honor of serving for 1 year as chief of surgery of a combat support hospital, which truthfully was the worst thing I ever had to do, but the best thing I ever got to do in combination.
Tell me about what a freshman congressman, what do you have to go through in terms of orientation and logistics and that sort of thing?
Well, I will say that the House Affairs Office is very prepared for us. And they bring us in nicely in a bipartisan way where we all come together as one class. And we have receptions, and then we start to meet each other, and then we start going through classes. Because regardless of what party you're in, the same rules apply. And the administrative aspects of the job are all the same for everybody. So they really get us in and get us indoctrinated. The first week that we were up there, of the 2 weeks that we've done, very busy, overwhelming with all the rules and regulations that you have to adhere to, how you end your relationship with your business or your job if you're coming from a non-political career especially.
And you've had to do all that.
We're still in the process, as you can imagine. Right. It's a matter of breaking ties with certain business ventures and things like that.
Tell me about the just the logistics of it. I mean, do you have office space assigned yet? Do you have
we do have office
chosen?
We do have office space assigned. As a matter of fact, last Friday before we left, that was the last thing that we did. There's a lottery, and of course, we're the freshman class, so we're way down at the bottom, and that's okay. I can't imagine that there's really a bad office there if you think about it. It's a pretty nice-looking place to work if you look around at what some of the options may be. I don't think there's a bad office, and we did get our office in Longworth, which is the center of the three buildings, and it's 1223 is our actual office number. As far as administration, there's a lot of scrambling going on right now. We receive stacks and stacks of resumes. We had people seeking us, fortunately, that actually had experience. And we do have a chief of staff hired. His name's Derek Harley, and he has previous experience. He is leaving as chief of staff for a representative from California that's retiring.
What are you going to do in terms of district offices? Have you decided yet where they're going to be? Because you have this geographically huge district that runs from Hamilton County all the way over to Pike and Scioto counties, a lot of territory to cover. Have you decided about how many offices you're going to try to maintain?
We have not decided yet, but I'll tell you a little bit about what goes into the thought process for that. Obviously, geography is one, and population is another. But at the same time, we have to find out what our budget's going to be. Everyone gets an allotted budget, and some have more depending upon the cost of living where they're coming from. But basically, we have the same budgets, and there is a good chance that that budget is diminished. And so we have to be very careful about how much we extend ourselves. So we've hired a chief of staff. The next will be district director, and then we'll start coordinating the rest of the staff and start looking at locations. Some congresspeople actually have mobile offices where on certain days they go to a different location. So we'll look into that as well.
I know that you volunteered to sit on the House Republican Policy Committee.
Yes.
Tell me about that and what kind of role you're going to play.
Well, probably my first session, I'll be sitting there observing and listening to how things are done. But I was elected per se from my freshman class to serve as the representative to the policy committee. So we'll start up next month as far as me being involved with that. And I'll be there to represent my class and my classmates and listen to their concerns as we form policy.
What are you looking forward to in terms of committee assignments and that sort of thing?
We have submitted several potential committees as a freshman. Sometimes you don't get what you want. Matter of fact, as a freshman, you rarely get what you may want. And so we've tried to look at it logistically as far as where we could possibly get and where we could serve best. Needless to say, I think with my 15 years in the military that I think I could be of benefit to the Armed Services Committee, and also with my years in healthcare. I want to participate in something along that line. Now, those committees are tougher to get, and they're actually already filled, which is Energy and Commerce and Ways and Means. So we'll look beyond that. I also said that I'd be interested in serving on the Rules Committee, and then there are other committees that I said I think that I could fit in pretty well also.
Do you have a place to live?
My wife and I got a studio. She can work from there. And she wants to be there as much as possible. We will live here in Cincinnati, and that's going to be home, but we will spend some time up there during the week. And when we do, we have a small place to lay our heads at night.
You know, you're going into this at a very difficult time in terms of, you know, what's going on right now in the 112th Congress. You know, this fiscal cliff is looming. I know that you were one of the, I believe, 16 House Republicans in the 113th Congress who did not sign this Grover Norquist pledge. Could you talk a little bit about that and why you chose not to?
Well, first of all, I think that the first oath that I should take would be to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States, and I think that should come first and foremost. I had said when I was approached early on in the race that I would want to meet with Mr. Norquist first before making any kind of decision on that, because it's a pretty broad-based pledge as far as I could tell, and I wanted to get into some of the details. For example, I'd be in favor of a fair tax or flat tax, something along that line. Well, what if that reduced rates for everyone in America but maybe 1%? Would I be guilty of breaking the pledge when I think this is something that overall is very good for America? So I have not met with him or had the discussion, and that's basically why I haven't signed the pledge. I'm against raising taxes. I think that more than anything, we've got to be serious about cutting spending. That's just the reality of it. If you look at the tax that's desired by the administration on what they call the richest Americans, it doesn't come close to reducing our deficit. And personally, I feel as a generation, we are responsible to the future generations of giving them something that they're able to work with and not just passing along debt.
Do you feel like you have a special kind of relationship with the speaker because you're from the same region of the state? Because, you know.
I think everybody kind of from Ohio that serves has greater access to the speaker because there are delegation meetings. And so compared to other states, you do have a little bit more opportunity to interact with the speaker.
How about Congresswoman Schmidt and what kind of cooperation that you've gotten from her in terms of the transition
I stopped by her office 2 weeks ago when I was up there, and she wasn't in. And I talked to her staff about trying to meet with her and have some type of transition. And the scheduler gave me his name and number, and we called and called a couple of times, and we were told she's not interested in meeting with me.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Do you see this as a long-term commitment? I mean, do you impose term limits upon yourself, or is it just, are you just going to play it by ear for the next?
Probably play it by ear. You know, I'm 54 years old, and I like to take on new challenges in life. And in three or four terms, I'm in my 60s, and perhaps it might be time to do something more administrative, if possible, just see where life takes us. Again, I never thought I'd be doing this right now, so we'll just follow the path that we're led. But I don't really see me doing it for, say, 20 years or making it the last thing that I do.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here.
Oh, thank you, Howard. Appreciate it. Always good to see you.
I've been speaking with Brad Wenstrup, the newly elected congressman from the 2nd Congressional District of Ohio. For Cincinnati Edition, this is Howard Wilkinson.